What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 371 of the PS4 Blogcast. I am JCM. With this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Izzy will not be here. He has some family stuff going on, so he'll be out. It'll be a one-sided Ghost of Tsushima conversation once we get to what we're playing. But yeah, we had quite a bit, not a ton. We had the Xbox event, a bunch of news articles, some stuff that I saved from early in the week that I think got it on my phone because I didn't even see it pop up when I was looking at Twinfinite. I think sometimes when I go to Twinfinite to pull up the news, I usually sort by PS4, just kind of cut out all the garbage. Mm-hmm. And usually they give me anything that happens that's maybe not PS4 specific, but related to gaming, it'll show up. But sometimes it doesn't. And I'm like, that's the only thing that bugs me about, even on IGN when I'd sort by PlayStation, sometimes they're a little better on IGN's side. They'll still show you some things that are just general, but falls within the PS4 bucket, especially if it's like third party and whatnot, or news related to a publisher who is third party. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. We've got no new releases that I could see, but we have a ton of sales going on. This is the summer sale currently mm-hmm. happening right now. It ends on the 19th. It is up to 50% off. A lot of games on there. Jedi Fallen Order, I think, is like $30. Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath is on sale. That's 30% off. Resident Evil 3. I can't see it because I own it, so I have to go to the page and press down, which is so 40% off. So that game is $36. So I can jump on that. Spider-Man Game of the Year Edition. I believe that comes with all the DLC. That's usually what Game of the Year Editions do. Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is $11 or $12. And then, yeah, Lazarus Remastered. Crash Insane Trilogy, which is no longer bundled with a bunch of other stuff. That's on sale. Days Gone. I think Days Gone is super cheap, too. Persona 5 Royal is 25% off. I should pick that up because that's $45. And I do want to play it at some point. Horizon Complete Edition is $15. A lot of good deals. Definitely jump on that. But, yeah. So, outside of deals, go ahead and jump into the news. We'll talk about some of the stuff from the Xbox showcase, which happened this week, just because there were some games that are third party on there. So some of the things they showed that were going to be on PlayStation 5, they showed gameplay for the medium, which was at their previous event back in May, which they didn't actually, it was just a CG trailer, but now they actually showed some gameplay of it. And it looks pretty good. They do that kind of, they tout this dual rendering of both worlds simultaneously, which I don't know if that means the way they did side by side. But I'm like, but even in a game like Dishonored 2, which had a, you know, double world level, and Titanfall 2, which had the same mechanic, I mean, I consider them to be rendered simultaneously. It's just you have to hop between them. So I wasn't sure if that means, oh, you can play between both worlds at the same time. Or, you know, like, because I thought the game was just you bounce back and forth between this, like, hell dimension and the real world. But the way they say they're touting the simultaneous world, you know, rendering, I'm like, what does that mean? But it does look fun. Looks spooky. I do like the concept because those two levels I talked about in Titanfall and Dishonored are the best levels of both those games. Big standouts. They also showed a multiplayer mode coming to Tetris called Tetris Effect Connected. It will be coming to Xbox first. So all these things will be launching on Xbox exclusively and then later come to their launch exclusives, but later will come to PS4. They're also on PC and Game Pass and whatnot. But the multiplayer will be launching first on Xbox as well as the game because they don't have Tetris Effect yet. And then the multiplayer mode will come to all other versions of the game on PC and PS4 for free as a free update. So that's nice. Warhammer 40K Darktide got announced. That was just a CG trailer. I don't play any of the Warhammer games, so I have no idea if they're good or not. But then Stalker 2 got reannounced. Stalker 2 was originally announced back in 2018 that they were working on it. And now they finally reemerged and showed some like actual, looks like in-game footage. But that will be, since it's coming to Xbox, it's also going to be coming to PS, most likely PlayStation 5 at some point as well. Mm-hmm. But no release date on that. I remember Stalker being the first one on PC being kind of praised, because Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl was the full name. I don't remember what Stalker stands for, because it does have dots between. It looks like acronyms, the name. I don't know if it stands for anything. But I remember being touted as, like, it was, like, how Crysis is, not necessarily Crysis was for graphics, but an open world design. But I know Stalker, I remember it being talked about a lot. Like, people were like, oh, man, Stalker did some things that no other FPS at the time had done. I was always interested in it, but it never came to consoles. So they also showed off another gameplay trailer for Psychonauts 2. I think that was it as far as multiplayer. I assume that the Outer Worlds DLC they showed will be coming to PlayStation 4. I do know that what's interesting is that the end of the Psychonauts 2 trailer, it talks about all the platforms it's coming to. You know, it's coming out in 2021. Originally, it was supposed to come out in 2020, but it got delayed probably because coronavirus. And they list like Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. So they don't list PlayStation 5, but I'm assuming obviously it'll have to work on PS5 through backwards compatibility. But I guess there won't be any PS5 specific version of it, probably just because they don't want to. I guess because when Microsoft picked it up, they're like, yeah, we'll just put it on PS4. They can put that in, play on PS5. But yeah, I think everything else that was shown was just Microsoft specific. I watched the whole thing up until like the last three trailers, just because I ran out. I was like, okay, I'm done watching this. This doesn't do anything for me. it's definitely getting kind of mixed reactions online. Some people thought it did really well. Some people thought it did okay. But the general consensus was that it wasn't as strong as the Sony one, but that it was a good showing, which is good to see.
Better than their first attempt.
Yeah, the first one's like no gameplay. It's like here's a 5-second montage for Assassin's Creed. It's like what? But I did see a lot of people talk about how like the Halo gameplay looked didn't look that great. Like it looked good, but not like next gen ish.
I saw people talking about that.
Yeah, and I noticed like there was parts where when Master Chief like pans up from the ground, as he's panning up, like the grass that's on the bottom of the screen starts disappearing. Like it's Fullstrom calling the grass out of it because he's looking away. But I'm like, why is it happening so quick? I'm like, obviously the game comes out in, you know, November, because it's going to be a holiday game. But I'm like, I feel like it should be look better than this. Like the pop-in I expect, because you get pop-in in every game no matter what. But they didn't say what it was running on. It turns out it was running on a PC that was supposed to be spec to be best represent the Series X. So you're not going to have the SSD speeds on a PC, because of the PCI, the lanes and the IO and whatnot. But some people point out how, you know, the graphics look kind of flat. And then I saw Digital Foundry did like a breakdown of it. And it made a lot of sense because they were talking about, basically it was a 18 minute video talking about how they're using direct lighting in the game versus indirect lighting. And how, because they're doing that, when games aren't in direct light, so the only light source in that game was a sun, while they're on the Halo ring, is that when you're in shadow, textures look flat because you can't see the details. And they show examples of games with indirect lighting where they just pre-bake models with like, oh, here's a gun, here's what it would look like if light hit it. So it looks good, but it's not realistic if you're in shadow because there's no light hitting it, but you're still getting light reflections. So it's like a trade-off of, if you use direct lighting, the disadvantage is if you don't have any light source in, like when you're in shadow, it doesn't look quite as good, which made sense. But then I did see a funny article where it was like somebody from Xbox basically firing back at people saying the game didn't look that great. And his excuse, though, I understand a bit, but I was also like, and another thing too is like this game obviously is being made for the base Xbox. So it's like whatever techniques they're going to use, they can't use like crazy techniques on the Series X that they can't use on the base one. Like obviously they can't use ray tracing on the Series X, which they will patch after launch, so it's like that's the advantage. But you can't go too crazy with new rendering tech or anything, because you still have to make it work on the current gen and your low 900p version that you had when you launched. But he talked about how, like, hey, look, it's COVID going on, people working home, and it's only July, the game comes out later. It's like, they still got time to polish. And I was thinking, yeah, that's true. But I was like, God of War was shown in 2016, and it looked like when it launched, it looked like it looked when it launched. Like, it was still good. Uncharted 4, like when that came out, when they showed that, like, they showed that well ahead of time too. And it's like, that still looked like the finished product. Like, it was funny. It was funny just seeing, like, someone use that excuse of, you know, oh, it's early. We got a couple months. I'm like, yeah, God of War was shown like 2 years before it came out, and it still looked real good. But granted, I'm sure 343. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I was going to say, I saw some people talking online about, like, the COVID excuse and stuff like that. It's like, well, if they're focusing on finishing and putting all of the final touches on the whole game, obviously they're not going to put a lot of emphasis on trying to make a vertical slice that's like the perfect representation of what the game's going to be or anything like that. Like, they're focused on putting it all into the original game, and then they just took a chunk of whatever they have done right now and showed that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I get that, but just come out and say that, you know, just say like, hey, we didn't perfect this, you know, these 30 seconds of gameplay or whatever, because we don't need to, you know, the game's going to come out and it's going to be good. We're focusing on putting all of our effort and all of our time and resources on perfecting the whole game rather than, you know, splitting off a team or something like that to make a perfected demo that is only this one little section of the game that's actually done. We just took what we have and here it is. This is the state it's in. It's going to get better.
Yeah. And it's not like we're, you know, God of War clearly was in development for many years, you know, mm-hmm. 4+, whereas I doubt Halo Infinite was in development for as long. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, it's not like it was being, its entire development cycle was with the specs of the Series X. It was with the One X, and then later at some point they're like, oh, and by the way, here's what we're probably going to launch with on the Series X. So they didn't have all the time necessarily to, you know, utilize all that stuff for this. And again, it's not even running on a Series X, it's on the PC to represent the X, so it's not like they could optimize it as much as they'd want. So that, I do give them that benefit of the doubt, but
It's like, yeah, just say that. Just, you know, everybody's going to be understanding if you're running it on a PC that's supposed to represent the Series X, because that's what your devs have access to right now. Like, no, not everybody can take home a Xbox dev kit.
Right.
Like, just come out and say that. Just be like, hey, we literally just pulled this file from something somebody was working on, and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, because even on, like, because on the Sony one, it's like, you know, when they launched, like, everything after this point is played on a, or is on, running on a, captured from a PlayStation 5. So mm-hmm. it's like, at least it was on the 5 dev kit. But yeah. But yeah, they showed some, like I said, a lot of stuff. It was kind of weird. Like, they, it wasn't as many big showings as I thought there'd be. That one game that looks interesting, which I guess is, you know, exclusive, is the As Dusk Falls, which I guess is made by a former lead game designer from Quantic Dream. That's the one where it's like, it's almost like a cel-shaded, very kind of not stop motion, but like, it's the one where, like, it's got the two families, it takes place over 30 years. It's got the, there's like some sort of heist and hostage situation at a restaurant or something. Mm-hmm. It looks interesting. And if it's from the lead game designer from Quantic Break, I don't know at what point they left, she left. But I mean, it looks interesting. I was like, if it's just a story game where you make choices, I'm like, it'd be kind of fun to play. But I think it's just exclusive. And it was weird that they didn't show Senua's Saga Hellblade 2. Like, they just talked about it. Like, oh, hey, they came out like, oh, hey, we have a new dev diary about Iceland. And they didn't show any new stuff. I thought that was really weird. I thought there'd be more. It's like, because you showed it at the Game Awards,
mm-hmm.
but I guess you didn't have anything else to show. Because that was what, back in November, December, the Game Awards. It's like, I thought maybe after 7 months you'd have something, but who knows?
Maybe it's just whatever they have working and presentable right now isn't going to be as impressive as what was shown at the Game Awards. So they're just like, maybe we should wait.
And yeah, so if you're an Xbox fan, I guess there's some stuff you can look forward to. And yeah, some of those games, a lot of the back half of the games are going to be coming to PlayStation at some point. There's going to, and who knows how long. I'm sure for each game it'll be a varying length of exclusivity. I mean, even something like Inside only had for this gen, only had a 1 month exclusive time frame on Xbox. mm-hmm. versus something like Limbo, which was on, you know, 360 forever, and then come to PlayStation till like much later. But yeah, we'll see how long that's going to be. But yeah, moving on from that, let's get into the news. Other news. So I saw, I'm going to get into the stuff I had saved. So the vertical slice of a canceled project from Sucker Punch called Prophecy leaked online. It's about 8 minutes showing gameplay for this scrap project. And you can kind of see some of it in Ghost of Tsushima. Like the first person crawl under stuff, you can see some of the armor of it. It looks like it takes place in like a Victorian England kind of setting. I don't know if it's like alternate history or alternate world, but it kind of looks like that. But even the armor that the knights are wearing kind of look like very, you know, Japanese, like Eastern influence, because they kind of, like, one guy's like, that kind of looks like Shredder. Like, he looks like he's wearing a Shredder helmet. So it looks inspired that way. It was really interesting. I wish I could know what the entire... That's the problem when, like, a game leaks that's canceled, is they're not going to tell you the entire story just because mm-hmm. some people are like, yeah, we don't want to tell you because we might use some of that stuff later in a future game. Or, like, if it's even if they have, like, a unique game mechanic associated with the game. And this one, dude, had this thing where, like, you can oxidize metal really quickly with, like, some sort of powder. So I think it's, like, you're using, like, this weird chemistry or this alchemist kind of thing. And he's, like, he throws this powder on this iron, like, window, like, guard thing. And then it, like, just makes it all turn to rust. And he jumps through it. And he throws it on a dude's armor. And it rusts his armor. And he breaks his armor off by pieces and takes the guy out. But, yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of glad we didn't go there because I don't really want any more Victorian England settings right now. And I like where they went with Ghost, but mm-hmm. you can check it out online. And then the other article I saw, which was actually ties back to a conversation we had last week about, or maybe the week before, about Ubisoft getting rid of... you know, three people that had stepped down, and one of them was the chief creative officer, Serge Hascott. I guess that's how you say his name. I don't know. and this was about how a new report on some employees at Ubisoft saying how multiple female characters in previous Assassin's Creed games had their roles minimalized or replaced with male leads. This is a report from Bloomberg from Jason Schreier. And basically explains how Ubisoft employees explained how Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Origins, and Odyssey were all affected prior to their release, and how Syndicate's script reportedly originally gave equal screen time to both Jacob and Evie Fry, but was altered to include more of Jacob. Which, it's funny because I don't remember it being that way. Like, the only reason I guess I felt like maybe there was more as one or the other, I guess maybe more as Jacob, is because if I do more exploring of the world, then obviously I would spend more time as Jacob. Mm-hmm. But I remembering from the story, I felt like, I mean, I wish I knew what percentage it was. Like, is it a 60-40 or a 70-30 split? Like, cause I feel like I spent equal amount of time with both, but I guess not. And then how in, let's see, Assassin's Creed Origins, the lead was, supposed to be, or Bayek was going to be incapacitated and or killed early in the game, and Aya was going to become the lead character. But then they...
Which makes sense, because she's in the fucking... Oh, that's so frustrating.
Sorry. Yeah, you know what sucks about that, too? It's like, I feel bad because I'm like, I like Bayek, and I like Aya.
I love Bayek.
But it's like, should I feel bad because I should like Aya more because she was going to be the original, like, you know, primary lead? Or is it a case of like, they're like, all right, well, if you're going to make us, you know, make Bayek deck, then we're still going to write a great character. Like, even though they get hit with this decree from on high to be like, no, make Bayek the lead. It's like, they're not, instead of being, you know, mad and upset at leadership, they're like, okay, well, we're still going to do a fantastic job with this character. Like, I feel like that while still doing so for Aya. But yeah, and then Assassin's Creed, Cassandra was supposed to be the sole lead character, but they were forced to give players choice between Alexios and Cassandra, which again, I like the way I majority of players played as Cassandra anyways, which is nice to see. Better. Yeah. And, but I do like the way they, I do like that sibling interaction. So it's like, it's cool. It's interesting to see that they're hit with these decisions that they didn't want to make initially, but they still make it work in a fun way. Cause I like that idea of whoever you don't pick is kind of the, one of the antagonists for the other character as you go through.
Mm-hmm.
Drop my mic, Phil. I thought that was a fun idea. So I'm glad to see that they were able to come up with creative ways to work around it. But yeah, it's like, and then that again ties back to that chief creative officer being Serge. So it's like, we were wondering, like, I wonder how much control he would have. And we were kind of expecting it was more like a overall kind of feel to games. So it's like, no, apparently the dude's a total dick. And he's just like, no women. Like,
it's so funny that those are the two biggest issues I had with both of those games, was like the fact that Assassin's Creed games typically are a narrative and they're typically not like, you don't really make choices because you're playing through history and stuff like that. That was the biggest issue I had with Odyssey. It's like, well, depending on who you play, now it's a different character and blah, 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 and all that. And with Origins, Aya's one of the fucking, like, she's got a statue in Monteregioni, and she's in, like, you learn about her history. She's, like, one of the key assassins in history and everything. And then you play as Bayek, and it's like, yes, I adore Bayek. He was a wonderful character, and I love him very much. And if he had died in the game, that would have been a devastating emotional impact. Like, that would have been so good. And it's like, those are my two biggest annoyances with those two games, is the way that they treated the characters and stuff like that, and the way they affected the narrative. And wow, I am not shocked that this like CEO dickbag is the reason that they had to make those changes.
Yeah, it's you're right about Aya too, especially because like she has a statue, and then they kind of only give you that the end bit about, oh, how she she kills Caesar and, you know, yada yada. It's like, yeah, I kind of wish there was, like, there should have been more, especially because she was, they put that little breadcrumb early on in the franchise. Like, hey, here's this great person. It's like, well, all that greatness is happening off screen now. It's like, we, like, what, we command the ships in those ship sections. It's like, come on, give us a little more. But
no, it's like this like momentous occasion in the assassin history and this catalyst that kind of launches forward, like, their involvement and everything. And halfway through the game, when I'm starting to realize that, I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna get to do that, like, we're gonna see it. And it just kind of like just happens, and she goes and then she walks off screen in a cutscene, and I was like, okay, I'm upset.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's not shocking, to be honest.
What's interesting too is that, you know, they're talking about how in Valhalla, how you can pick, you know, Eivor could be a male or female, and they say you could switch back and forth between either one, I guess, at any point. They say there's like a good in-game reason for it, I guess, like lore reason. I'm assuming it's like, what, they have the, you have the genetic data, but they don't know, like, what the is the animus like, well, I don't know if there's a Y chromosome or not. And then it's like, so you can pick it. We'll just render it, you know, and you can pick, do you want to put the Y chromosome? And we'll just, the animus will guesstimate what they'll look like and sound like. Like, I'm, it's like, but yeah, we'll see what that means going forward. If they actually, if we get, now that, you know, those people are gone, if there's going to be a Assassin's Creed that's entirely led by, you know, a female character. I mean,
God, I hope so.
I mean, they're the present day obviously has to be, because we have Layla. It's like, we have to be her. I don't want you to switch to anybody else. You know, we had Desert long enough, then we had no one, or we had, you know, we were just some random person who got swept up and stuff when we were the Ubisoft game employee in Black Flag. But yeah, so you got Layla, but it's like, yeah, I'm curious to see if they do what they do going forward. Now that the creativity won't be stifled, hopefully. But
hopefully it just won't be replaced by some new dickbag who also has some weird, like, conniption fit when there's a girl in a video game.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, moving on. So Ghost of Tsushima sold 2.4 million units apparently in 3 days, which breaks the record for a Sony IP debut. So it has done really well. I know it's doing pretty well in Japan too, and I think that's also a big factor into overall sales. Usually Japan's usually not big sales numbers overall versus the US and Europe and whatnot. Usually it's only like a couple hundred thousand, but I have seen that it's been sell, like it physically it's been sold out in Japan, which you'd think like they'd be digital over there, but like especially with how much handhelds do so well in Japan but yeah, it's selling really well, so that's good. Then there was some rumors that Skull and Bones is scrapped going around, but then in a financial conference call, Ubisoft confirmed that, you know, it's they talked about Skull and Bones and how development is still well underway and it's performing very, very well. So it might not be necessarily that it's been scrapped, but maybe internally it's been kind of rebooted, possibly, since we haven't seen it in so long. So if you're wondering where that game is, apparently it's still, they're still going at it. But,
taking a lot of Sea of Thieves inspiration, maybe, due to how well that game has done since then.
Yeah, it seemed like they kind of went that way because originally it was just going to be just ships in third person. But then when they re-revealed it later on, it's like you were like the captain and you could like walk around and all that stuff. I'm like, okay, now it looks much more interesting because I was interested to begin with because I love the combat in Black Flag. And I was like, oh, this is so good. But I want a little more. I don't want to just control ships because then it's like, you know, I'm playing not Star Citizen, EVE Online or something where I'm just controlling giant ships.
A lot of Sid Meier. The original Sid Meier Pirates game where you're basically just the ship and then there's like really bad combat. They're like, maybe we should steer away from the Sid Meier model and try Sea of Thieves because that does really well.
Yeah. keeping it with Ubisoft, during their investor call, they'd also talked about next-gen game pricing. And because we know that EA is going to have that NBA game cost $70 on next-gen versus $60 on current. And they were saying how they, Yves Guillemot confirmed, you know, that they would remain $60 for the holiday season. So that doesn't necessarily mean that come 2021, if they make games exclusively for next gen, that they won't increase the pricing. But for right now, they're staying at $60.
Unless the games are going to be $70 and they're just going to be $60 because they're going to be on sale for the holidays, quote unquote.
Yeah, who knows? And then they also confirmed that will be another. They confirmed the Ubisoft Forward date in September. They'll have a lot to showcase in the coming months. So they had already mentioned that last at their last Forward event that they would have another one coming up. So yeah, September's when it's going to happen. And then I saw that I Am 8-Bit is releasing a strawberry-scented vinyl of the Bugsnax theme song by Caro Caro Bonito. So if you want a nice collector's item, I'm 8-Bit always does a lot of nice little fun stuff for collecting. You get that, put it next to your Bloodborne vinyl. strawberry scented, that's so interesting. But oh, it's a 7-inch. Nice, so it's a smaller vinyl.
Adorable.
Yep. And then I saw that Insomniac confirmed that Spider-Man Miles Morales will have a performance mode where it runs at 4K 60, which makes me wonder what it's going to look like running at 30 with extra options. Like if it has ray tracing, it's like, that's a lot of ray tracing because you're in a city. So that means every window reflection is going to be like, have to ray trace stuff. Like that's a big performance hit, but I'm wondering if it's still going to run at how much resolution hit are you going to take running at 30? Because you get the benefit of, okay, you don't have to double render as much for the 60. You're rendering at a low resolution. But again, ray tracing takes up a lot of power. So it'll be interesting to see what, if it's like 1440p at 30 with a bunch of better stuff, like that's still good resolution. And Spider-Man, because my whole thing has always been, if it's a third person game and it's a steady frame, if the frame pacing is steady on 30 and it's a solid 30, it always feels good. It's when the problem with 30 versus 60 is when it becomes an unstable frame rate and it's not capping out at 30. And I'd rather play a capped 30 stable frame rate than uncapped and you know, just frame pacing all over the place. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Games like Spider-Man Uncharted, I can play those at 30. I'm fine. Now, if they had, like, Uncharted had multiplayer, they made it 60 FPS because it's multiplayer, and their resolution took a hit, which is fine. First person, always give me 60 in first person if you can. But I'm really curious how good it'll look in the visual mode, I guess they'll call it, if the performance mode is 4K, still 4K 60. That'll be interesting to see. But we obviously won't have too long to wait, just a couple months. That's it for the news. There was something else. I don't have it open. Where'd it go? It disappeared. Now I gotta find it again. There was a rumor, or people are speculating, that Hideo Kojima might be working with what's the guy's name? I want to say Junto Ito, but that's not right. I'm gonna get that wrong. He's like an anime manga, like horror.
Junji Ito?
I think that's who it is. Yeah, it's like how he had been talking about, it was an interview he gave. I don't have time to pull this up. And basically he was talking about, he's aware of Hideo, and he's talked to him about working on like horror stuff. Nothing's currently happening, but he's talked to him about it. And that's interesting because Hideo had talked about wanting to do a horror game, you know, a while back. And then recently, remember we had that conversation about him saying how he had to cancel a project. It was just unfortunate. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if it's like, are those related? Like, I had assumed he was canceling his horror game because that's originally what he had talked about. Or did he have like knowing Kojima, he probably had multiple irons in the fire. But I feel like he always kind of reminded me of someone who, like, you have one idea and you kind of stick with it because you feel strongly about it. And it's like, okay, that got scrapped. Let's move on to something else. Like, I'd imagine Death Stranding is something it was like probably the first thing he thought of. You know, maybe one aspect of it and then building off of it, adding to it rather. Yeah, that'd be interesting because I would love to see a horror game. And if he's working with some renowned person who does horror manga, it's like that would be pretty cool.
Of course, I think this was like, maybe it wasn't ever confirmed, but I think it was a rumor that supposedly Junji Ito was supposed to do monster design for Silent Hills. So I was wondering if maybe that's what they were referring to. Like, yeah, we had talked about it previously, way back in, you know, the Silent Hills days, because it was a rumor that Ito was supposed to do design and stuff for it, not necessarily like, because Junji Ito does really, really good horror manga. He has really good stories and really good design and everything like that, but people were saying that he wasn't involved in the actual like story or narrative. He was just brought on to do designs for the enemies and stuff like that. So I was thinking maybe that's what they were talking about, like they had discussed previously working together on Silent Hills. But yeah, it kind of made it seem like they had spoken recently about him having like a larger role in something that Kojima was doing, which like Kojima and Ito together, I would not have the psychological fortitude to deal with that. So maybe it's good that whatever they were doing was scrapped, or they're not actually working together, but it would still be cool.
Yeah, he was, like you're saying, he was originally going to be a concept artist on PT. This is the Comic-Con 20, part of the Comic-Con 2020 thing that's going on right now. There's an interview, and he's, quote, this is via comic book, saying, quote, "I do know director Kojima, and we have been in conversation that he may have a horror-based game that he may be doing, and so he has invited me to work on that, but there's no details on it yet," Ito said, speaking to a translator. Sadly, no further information was revealed about Kojima's new horror game, but thankfully the rumor mill's been healthily churning out plenty of material to speculate about. But yeah, so that people are citing, like, but first let's look at the facts that he was originally a concept artist for PT. So they're saying like, yeah, that could still work. So yeah, it's that could be interesting. Hopefully that, I mean, if he's saying he's still talking to him, that means whatever Kojima did scrap must have been something else entirely. Like maybe or it could have been something like maybe he was trying to work with a horror game with Guillermo del Toro, and then that fell through. So he's like, okay, well, it's just, I'll still do it, but I'll change it and work with Junji Ito. But who knows?
Yeah, or maybe even just like not necessarily working on a horror game with him if that idea has been scrapped or it can't be worked on, but still having like. because Death Stranding wasn't a horror game, but it had these like weird psychological horror elements to it, yeah, with the BTs and stuff like that. So maybe something like that, where it's just going to be a different type of game with these like weird psych elements to it. They're both right. just absolutely fantastic at fucking with your brain. So whatever they do is going to be awful, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah, then the last bit, which I almost forgot about, but your recent Final Fantasy reminded me about it. I did see that apparently, I guess, as part of
5.3?
Yeah, there we go, 5.3. that they are revamping a lot of the initial quests for new players.
Yes.
But the way they said they're doing, like, I thought, like, oh, that's cool, they're getting rid of all the garbage. But they just said that they're pulling out the main quest, the MSQ garbage, and still making it side quest content if people want to play it. But I'm like, so in my head, I thought at first, like, oh, they're getting rid of the fluff at the MSQ, which means they'd have to give you bonus extra XP to actually get to where you need to be. But now if that extra stuff is part of a side quest, are they not going to adjust the XP at all? Because now it's like, oh, well, now if you want to be up, you still have to do the side quests. Like, is that how it's going to be?
No, I think they're balancing it so that it's going to be similar to how the MSQ is now. You'll be able to keep up and level to a certain point, and then there may be a jump in, you know, the level gap, right? Usually right before a dungeon or something, or uh-huh. a trial where you need to get your level up. And because the balancing was really good in Shadowbringers. I don't think we had to do any side content until toward the very end, because we were doing a little bit here and there, and then as the story started to ramp up, I was like, I can't focus on anything else. I need to get through this. And we got up to, you know, towards the end, and one of the quests was locked. We had to do a couple side quests to get our level up to do that. So I think they're going to rebalance it so it's similar. You can't just like blow through just the MSQ and expect to keep up in level or anything like that. You might need to do an extra dungeon or some side quests and stuff like that. But I don't think it's going to be to the point where they're just going to cut those quests out and you're not going to get that EXP. And then you're going to go from one quest level like 10 to 15 or something like that. You know, like that's how much fluff is being cut out. So I think they're rebalancing it and they're just leaving all of that content in the game so that you can still experience it if you want to, because you know, there's a lot of good meme potential with all of that, and you're going to lose out on experiencing that. And it's still going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that they're redoing some dungeons as well. But I'm curious mm-hmm. to see how much they modify up to the MSQ, because, like, if they went up through, because, I mean, I stopped at Heaven's Ward, and I remember being like, oh, my God, I got to talk to, like, 1,000 Moogles or something. Like, I had to do there's like so many side quests, and I'm like,
the Moogles were bad.
Out of hand. Like, the only good thing that came out is that, like, when I was doing the side quests, when I first started watching Rick and Morty while I did them, and I was like, okay, at least I finally watched a show that's really good. But then, like, I stopped playing Final Fantasy. I was like, okay, I'm over it. But
Just doing the original Realm Reborn quests for now. And then mm-hmm. with every major patch, there's going to be more adjustments later on or something like that. I can't remember what they said the cutoff for the original redo is going to be. But I think it's going to be up to Praetorium. So the like actual like 2.0 or whatever. And then they're going to start adjusting it from there or something like that.
Yeah.
Because the 2.0 is the one that has the most issue. And from 2.1 on, it started to get a lot better because they took a lot of the feedback from the fucking Titan quest. So I think that's the one that they're focusing on the most. And then the other ones later on will subsequently need less adjusting.
And it sounded like they also say that they want the trust system to work up through the Heavensward content as well.
Yeah. They said they wanted to start adding it to previous content. So I don't know. They said they did mention at least Heavensward, but I don't know if they're going to work backwards from Shadowbringers or if they're going to start adding it into A Realm Reborn and then Heavensward and start that way, which would make sense because that's where the trust is really needed for new players. So it wouldn't make sense for them to work backwards, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see. Cause I was like, well, if they do all this stuff and, you know, they streamline some of the MSQs, up further past the just the beginning of the game, I could, it's like, it would still be tempting to maybe hop back in possibly if they're, you know, have they talked at all about next gen support?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I'd assume like it'll probably work maybe from the get go, but I could see like if they do next gen support and then there's a lull in the first year of PS5 releases, and if the trust system and they goes further and they streamline further, I could see possibly, okay, go back in, maybe pay for a month, re-download, beat Heavensward, and then, you know, see how I feel from there, and then maybe do the expansion after that, and then maybe Shadowbringers, and but who knows? I don't know. It's like, but if they did make it to where I could just easily single player it all the way through, and not queue with randos, I could see like maybe going in there just to play some. But
I can solo most of the Heavensward dungeons, just so you know.
We're not on the same. Well, yeah, you can. You
I'm just saying, if we go in unsynced, I have a red mage and she can do anything.
Yeah, but my character's on Leviathan. So,
what data center is that? That's an Aether?
I have no idea. You're speaking gibberish to me now. Oh, okay. Did they combine servers into like mother servers?
So you can do, the data centers are like, there's the data center is where all of the servers are located, and each data center is like a cluster of 10 servers or something, I think, like that. Maybe not that many. But they made it originally so that you can do the duty finder with anybody on your data center, and now they have cross-world visits. So, like, if we were on the same data center but different servers, so if I'm on, I'm not sure if Leviathan is still on my data center because they moved my server to a different data center, and I don't remember if Leviathan was one that migrated with it. But if we're on the same data center but on different servers, I can go to your server and be on it and like live there and do things and play together and stuff like that. So you can actually go to other servers now and visit. It just breaks like your link shells or something like that. You can't talk to people in your link shell, but nobody I know is online right now anyway, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's like, as long as you're on the same data center and you're not necessarily on the same server, you can still pretty much play the game together.
Yeah, I try to just Google FF14 data centers, but I'm not really getting any good Google returns back. Oh, but
I can always double check, but I mean,
yeah. Speaking of now that we're done with the news, speaking of Final Fantasy, I saw that you just been AFKing in the game.
Being back into it. I had a friend message me on Discord the other day, and he noticed that my name on the free company list said I had been offline for 69 days, and I was like, nice. No, wait, not nice. That's not nice. I don't want to be off the game that long. So I was like, God, it's been fucking months since I logged on to the game, because I just got burned out, or I was working too much or whatever. So I logged on the game and I was like, oh, it's so good to be back. And then I just sat AFK in town all day just watching people. I was like, I should do something. So I actually started doing things again.
That's funny. I mean, that was like the end of my 14 run, was basically that, is just AFK at our company or free company house, and then play something else on another console.
Yeah.
And just be like, all right, I'm going to play this game while I just sit AFK on my second monitor. Do this. Oh, someone wants to do something? Sure, I'll queue up. But
yeah, just like sitting around waiting for things to do.
Yeah. So have you done anything? Because you're all caught up though, right?
I'm all caught up. The only thing I haven't done yet is I never actually did the Ruby weapon fight. I thought that I did, but I didn't actually complete it. So I don't know what the hell happened with that. So I haven't done that yet. I don't know if I'm going to wait, because the second tier of that quest line is coming out with 5.3. I don't know if I'm just going to wait until then to do it and just do them both at the same time, or if I'll do it earlier. But everything else, I'm all caught up in. So I've just been trying to get my gear back up, because I stopped playing a little bit after the last big patch, I think. I played for like a few weeks, so I didn't really get a lot of the gear that was introduced with the last patch, so I'm just working on getting that up so that I can go into the next patch and start doing things right away and I'm not lagging behind eye level or anything like that. And then I saw another friend of mine on Twitter started soloing Palace of the Dead just for funsies and made it up to like floor 170 or something like that on Red Mage. And I was like, I want to do that too. So I started doing that. And it's awful, actually. It's fucking torture. I don't know why I did this to myself, but it is what it is now. I've started and now I can't stop.
That's funny. You're like, well, I gotta keep trying.
I'm like, why did I do this? I'm all alone. Nobody can help me. Oh, I'm dead. Nobody's here to raise me. Okay, I gotta start over.
I need my scroll to re-raise.
I know. I'm just like, what the? Why did I do this to myself?
I have the conquest points. I can buy it.
Where's my ring?
And then outside that, you're still doing ooblets even though you're maxed out on content?
Yeah, pretty much. The only thing I need now is I was saving up points to expand my farm, and now I have that, but I didn't do it because I knew I wasn't actually going to play the game once I did it. I was going to fucking draw my farm and plot it out like I did the first time. So I was like, I need to stop, and I played something else, but still absolutely playing ooblets. And I'm on the Discord server for it with the devs and everything right now. So I'm spending a lot of time actually playing the experimental version that they have up on the Epic Store, because they're trying to test a lot of like more game breaking fixes and stuff like that. Especially there's like a problem some people have with their save files. So I played a little bit of the experimental, just looking for like helping look for bugs and stuff like that. And that's actually really fun. This is the only game that I've ever done that for. And so I was like, I think I'm a little bit obsessed with ooblets because I'm actually testing the fucking game and like submitting bug reports and downloading like test experimental updates and fixes and shit. And so I've like my experimental file, I've lost the save file like 5 times. And I'm like, that's fine. I'll just start a new one and work on this fix. And I'm just like, I think I have a problem. I'm obsessed with these little mushroom babies.
Yeah, I saw some people on, I think it was on social media, who were just playing a bunch of ooblets. Everybody's getting in there, just having fun. Post pictures of the little creatures. I've just been playing Ghosts. I'm halfway through it. There's basically 3 acts, and the way they structure it is like you have to, in order to proceed to the final confrontation, you have like 3 main mission, like 3 MSQs that you have to do, which are multi-tiered quests when you do them. They're on the map in gold, so you don't necessarily have to do any of the side content. Like, I'm curious how quick, cause they say like the game is like 40 to 50 hours, if I guess, but it doesn't seem like it would take long if you just beelined the main story. You'd still unlock your, like, so they have all these different stances that are locked behind killing captains, essentially, of which you can find in each of the camps. But when you do the main story quest, sometimes it makes you still fight some of these captain guys. So as long as you're, I'm curious, as long, if you did the MSQ, would you still unlock your new stances, which are important to fighting different enemy types? If you would still get them at a reasonable pace without doing the side content, because I pretty much got them all super fast before I even got to the end of Act 1, but I did a lot of side stuff. I was mainly doing primarily the character side quests that you can do. And sometimes... and they can go on for quite a bit, some of those side quests, at least in Act 1, because you're trying to recruit these people. So in order to recruit them, you have to, again, do like 4 missions with them, and then they end up helping you. But yeah, I'm basically at the end of Act 2, I suppose. I have like the one, there's like 3 missions, and then after those 3 are done, there's like another main mission, which I think is a precursor. It's like the penultimate mission, and then you have the assault mission. So I'm on the mission, I guess, right before the end, because the marker isn't by the castle I have to go assault. But I still have a bunch of character quests around, so I'm wondering if I just did those and went to the next area and those three, like, would it just be done? But I do like the side content. A lot of the characters are fun just to see their stories. The only thing that kind of bugs me is that because the game is three acts and three sections of the island, is that some of the character stories you do, it's like you can see your progress on them, which does kind of bug me in two ways. It bugs me. One is like one guy, Sensei Ishimura. He's like this bowmaster, and he has a side quest, but it's like it says one of nine. Okay, so now I know that there's nine missions, and his storyline so far is about how he trains someone, Tomoe, this woman. He trained her in, you know, for the bow and everything, and she's like a prodigy as a kid. Like she was like 14, like really good, but she ended up like she's a thief. And so she ended up using her skills to go around and to help take advantage of situations, stuff like that. And you hear stories of how she like terrorized this one town and this next and the section I'm currently in with her group of thieves, and how she's working with the Mongols right now, training them in the art in the bow skills that she knows. And so like we're hunting her down with the Sensei Ishimura, and but like in act two it just stopped at seven of nine, and it says, oh, like I found her, chased her, she got away, and then he's like, oh, she would probably run away to the north. And so now I know the last two missions are going to be in the act three area. So that's one thing that annoys me, is like once you get to a certain point, it's like, okay, you have to go to the next story segment, like main story section, in order to continue the storyline. But it also does the thing where like it's like when you watch a TV show after it's all done, when the series is done, or you read a book series after it's done, is if when you're watching it week to week, everything's kind of a surprise. But then there's things like, I know because I was on mission 7 of 9, I'm chasing her down, that when I confronted her, I'm like, well, it's not going to end here. I have two more missions. I wish it didn't tell me. I wish it would just say like, here's the next mission for this person is here. Mm-hmm. That way it's more of a surprise. So that's the one thing that annoys me about the way they handle the quest system. And some of them you can do out of order too. Like he does have a main story. Like his is, you know, chasing down this person he trained. So like you can only do 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4. But there's other characters who are just kind of like one woman, she's looking for people who I think like destroyed her village or something. And there's like another person who wants some help, but because there's not like a main antagonist kind of situation, they're just kind of searching for information. You can find them in multiple places at once, but it's like, here's mission 1 of 4. Here's mission 2 of 4. Here's 3 of 4. But they're like, you can go to them out of order, which kind of bugs me. I wish they wouldn't. They just make you do them, even though it doesn't necessarily matter. There's no linearity to what they're doing. They're just kind of looking. But yeah, I game's a lot of fun. Gorgeous game. I really like the combat a lot. I like it more than Sekiro, and I liked Sekiro's combat a lot because I love the whole parry mechanic in that game, was just super on point. But it was very one note, I suppose. Like, and I guess Neo did have stances. I think Neo had stances where you can change like a high, mid, low stance, which essentially is what Ghost of Tsushima does. It has like a sword, or they call them something else, but it's like a sword, a shield, a pole arm, and a big dude stance, essentially. Moon stance, what they call it. And it's like, if you fight sword people, like guys with swords, you use the sword stance because your heavy attacks are strong to break their stamina and their guard. If they're shields, you go into shield stance. I think it's wind. No, wind is the pole arm. You go into that stance, and then your triangle attacks are strong against them. So you're switching up, depending on who you're fighting, you're switching constantly during combat, like which stance you're in. And in Act 1, you can basically beat anybody with any stance. It just takes a little longer if it's the wrong stance type. But when you're in the beginning of the game, like I'd get surrounded by like 6 guys, and because they're all different enemy types, it's like, and I'm playing hard, like they would just take me down. And I'd be like, oh, man. But once you get each of the stances, you're good. And then in Act 2, enemies become much stronger. So it's like, now you really have to focus on being that stance. And the game will even tell you sometimes, like, yo, you should be in moon stance right now, man. And so like it would kind of slow down time, like change to it now. Luckily it doesn't beat me over the head with it, but yeah, it's a fun game. I like it a lot. I like the voice acting. Again, I like a lot of the side characters. But yeah, I'll play it some more. I haven't run into any bugs or issues. My only issues the game, I talked with Izzy on Discord. It's like I had one where like an NPC, it does this thing. I talked about it last week, how if you're too far from an NPC you're following, the game will tell you to go back to them. And you have a timer. Mm-hmm. And I had one mission where I'm with someone trying to help her and we're hunting down some people and she jumps on, she goes, oh, they ran this way. And she jumps on her horse and runs off. But by the time I got on my horse, she's just outside of range and I can't run faster than she can run on her horse. So I'm still outside that proximity the game wants me to be in, even though she's in my line of sight and we're only running like 100 meters to get to the next section. And so it made me fail. I'm like, oh, God damn it. I was so mad. That bugged me. But I like the haiku system is a lot of fun, but I didn't find out until like way later. So like the way it works is like, you know, it's like, oh, the haiku, this section is reflect on life is the theme. And so you have like these three dots on the screen. Like you kind of, you know, sit back, he's sitting on like a cliff or something. And there's like a interactive dot and a tree and you move the camera to it and it tells you like a line, like the five syllables that you're going to say. And there's like three options. So you choose one and you pick it. And then once you pick one, it transitions to another screen, more zoomed in, like closer to that object. And there's another three options of the seven syllables. And then you pick one and then it goes to a third screen that's even more zoomed in on an object. But when I first did that, it was so zoomed in that you can only see one option initially. And I can't see the other three, like in the other scenes. I'm like, oh, I guess because I chose these ones, the game like had some sort of algorithm that's like, oh, because you chose these two options, this is the only thing you could do at the end that would make sense, essentially. Mm. So the first four haikus I did, it's like, I thought, okay, it filters down from 3-3 to 1. Okay, whatever. And then later I found out that, I forget how, I think I accidentally moved the camera, that, oh, you can pan and there's options outside of the screen, your visible space, that you could choose two more. Just, it's always 3-3-3. And I'm like, I was so mad. I was like, oh, that means I ruined, like, because my initial haikus, I didn't like it that much. Like, there was one I really liked that went, I did the 3-3-1, and I'm like, oh, this actually turned out really well. It's like, it was my favorite haiku. And they give you, like, these different bandanas you can wear that are the symbol of whatever you're reflecting on. And the haikus are inscribed in the description of the item, which is nice. So if you want to go back and look at what you did. But yeah, I was kind of bummed. I was like, oh, that means I waste like 4 or 5 haikus because I didn't know I could pan the camera. Yeah, it's a fun game. I don't know what I'm going to play after it. I did re-download, or I did play some more Civ 6. Like, I take a break from Ghost and play like some Civ 6. I was trying to watch some shows. And I didn't want to have to pause the show to listen to the major cutscene in Ghost and then unpause the show and yada yada and rebalance my mind. I was like, I can't do that. I'm just gonna play some Civ. But yeah, no idea what I'm gonna play after I beat it. Maybe get the platinum, because I think the platinum stuff would be easy. Maybe go back platinum to Stranding, but also platinum Last of Us, gotta do that. But yeah, that's it. And I don't even know what, if there's any like small stuff coming out between now and when Watch Dogs in the end of October. But yes, I have no idea if there's anything coming out in August and September.
Cyberpunk.
Well, Cyberpunk got delayed to November.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so that's November 17th. Same day. I think it's the same day as Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Or a week apart. Or, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I just still have in my head September was Cyberpunk. So, because it originally was coming out near my birthday. So I was like, oh, I'll get Cyberpunk for my birthday. And then they delayed. I was like, never mind.
Yeah, thanks Cyberpunk. But
no Cyberpunk for me.
I don't think anything's coming out in August and September of note. So
I don't know. The only thing I have on my list is it's for Switch though. It's the Crystal Chronicles remake that they're doing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm gonna get that right away. But that's like end of August, so.
Yeah, I guess I'm just, that'll be the 2 month almost 3 month wait because the games won't come out to the end of October. Wait for next gen, mm-hmm. wait for pricing, pre-orders, and then just, I guess, I'll just continue playing Apex and then just platinum stuff before PS5 comes out, because I probably won't go back to platinum once the console launches. All right, well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode. Hopefully we'll have Isley next week so we can talk about Ghost. I'm assuming he should be further than I am, because he had been playing it for much longer. I had like a day where I didn't like play it at all, barely. So yeah, he should be, I think he might be in Act 3, I'm not sure. I know he's kind of running around doing everything as well, like all the side stuff. Mm-hmm. But maybe we'll finish by then. We can talk about it more. But yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Zaya, for joining. Mm-hmm. And we will see you all next time.
Bye.